If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. We'll be looking at there just a couple verses, and so I know your hope is Adam's only preaching from two verses, so maybe it'll be a short one since the holiday weekend. Y'all keep thinking that, and I'll try to deliver that, but that's not my goal for today. As I was preparing for this message, I was reminded of a hiking trip, and I just... be honest with you, it bothered me so bad, I just looked it up right before I came up. It was back in 2012. A former church member invited to take me on a hiking and camping trip, and this would have been my first time doing this. If you want pictures of the event, you can go to my Facebook page and look up First Hike. Okay, so my first hike, and what we did is he gave me a backpack, and he gave me a tent, and he gave me instructions on what to put in this backpack and carry with me. And if you've never been hiking and camping, you have to carry everything that you are going in with, and it's fairly uncomfortable for somebody that's never hiked before, let alone, you know, done this. I've camped out, but that means we pulled into a field and we threw a bunch of stuff out of a truck into the ground and did it that way. But we walked in, it took us about 2 hours to get to the campsite that we wanted to get to. And so, you know, 2012 Adam was a lot younger than 2022 Adam, but still, he was in about the same amount of shape, all right? So after 2 hours of hiking with about 50 pounds on my back, I was done. I was finished. You know, we set up our camp. It took me a lot longer than I would like to admit to set my little tent up that's designed for one person. You know, it looks like a coffin, basically, is what you end up sleeping in. We're getting ready. We have to, because water is heavy, I don't know if y'all know that, we didn't bring a whole lot in with us, so we had to go find a stream and filter the water, and we set us up a little watering station and all this kind of stuff. And John Stewart, former church member, John said, Adam, Big Tree, which is supposedly the biggest tree or the oldest tree in Alabama, he's like an hour and a half down that trail right there. If you want to, we can go check it out. I didn't want to go check it out, but I didn't want to ruin his trip either. And so I'm like, yeah, John, that sounds great. So we top off some bottles, and we put it in our pocket, and we start walking. And that hour-and-a-half trip took us 3 hours to get to Big Tree, because this was after the storms that came through. And in this wildlife refuge, there was nobody that maintained the trails. And so we weren't hiking. We were climbing over trees that had been blown over in those storms. I mean, stacked on top of each other like this. Now, why in the world we didn't stop once we saw that and turn around and go back and say, oh, we tried. But we didn't. I guess we're men, and we set out to do something, and anything besides victory would have been unacceptable in our minds. All right? So 3 hours later, we walk up to this tree, and let me tell you something. It's the most unassuming tree that you could imagine. It's the most disappointing event. I got a picture of it on my phone. I meant to put up on the thing of me standing there like this. That's it. I mean, it was a big tree. I'll give you that. The name was adequate. But by the time I got there, an hour after we left, I was out of water. I was done. And I'm climbing over trees. And you know, this Adam wishes he was in that good a shape. But even that good a shape Adam was not great shape. Okay. And so we get there. And literally in my picture folder on Facebook, there's two pictures of that tree. And there's four pictures of the waterfall behind the tree. What do y'all think I was focused on? I didn't care about that tree. I was thirsty. And I said, John, I don't know what is above this waterfall. And I don't know how clean this water is, but I'm fixing to drink it. And my only prayer is it'll take 3 days for it to fix me so that I can get out of these woods. That's my only prayer. And I filled up my water bottle, and I drank I did the whole sight test. That's good. I drank it, filled it up, drank it again, filled it up. To take it with me on the way back to camp. And by the time we got back to camp, the sun had already set. I was completely out of water again, and I made it to the watering station that we had hanging on a tree. Didn't even use my bottle. I just stuck my mouth up to it. Just started drinking out of it. It reminded me of football practice back in the day. I don't know about in this area, but Op had one piece of PVC pipe with holes drilled in it that you hooked a water hose inside of it, and it just shot out like this, and you just fought over who could get their face in front of one of those streams of water. And that's when our coach would let us have water, because in his opinion, water caused cramps. All right, so he didn't want us drinking a whole lot of water at football practice, because that's what causes cramps. I'm like, I don't know about that science, coach. Now, that's probably why you teach PE. you know, like not science, because I'm pretty sure water is something that the body needs, especially in hot days. All right? Why am I telling those silly stories? Because Jesus made it very clear to us that he is the living water. He said that on numerous and multiple occasions. And I think we as believers, we love the illustration and the concept of Jesus being living water. But so often we lose sight of what that means and how we're supposed to live our life based off of what he says. See, John chapter 7, John chapter 7 in my translation starts the verse after these things. And so I had to go back to John chapter 6 and remind myself of what things that he's talking about. And then John chapter 6 starts out like this, after these things. And so, well, I need to go another chapter back to see where all this starts from. And then in chapter 5, it starts off after these things. And so I said, well, I guess chapter 4 is where I need to start. And so I went back to chapter 4, and what we find in chapter 4 is Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. The first instant in which Jesus says, I am the living water. Or, you come to me and you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. And from the Samaritan woman, he goes back, which is in Samaritan, obviously. He goes back to Galilee where he, you know, is from, and he heals a child there. And then chapter 5, it goes to him healing a guy that had been lame, that couldn't walk, in Bethsaida. And then after that, it's a chapter full of Jesus answering Jews' questions and accusations and him just basically preaching at the Jews. And then chapter 6 leads us into the feeding, the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, and then Peter's profession of him being the Messiah, the chosen one, that which leads us to chapter 7, where Jesus, we find in the beginning chapter or beginning verses of chapter 7, that Jesus' brothers are basically mocking him. They're saying, look, you're doing all these things out in the wilderness. Why aren't you doing these things in public? I mean, we're not talking his disciples. We're talking his literal brothers. I looked it up, looked at the words, the terminology. We're talking about the implication of the meaning is the guys that came from the same womb that Jesus came from. We're mocking him and his ministry, and it leads to him. They're trying to get him to go into these Jewish the feast that's going on at that time, and Jesus is concerned because they're already mad at him for healing people on the Sabbath, and you know, they're looking for reasons and areas to cause him harm. And so he sends his brother to the feast, and then he kind of goes there silently by himself and starts preaching at this feast. And we pick up, I want to read verses 37 and 38. This is the last thing that Jesus says in these verses, and it's him addressing the Jews there. He says, verse 37 says this, now on the last day, the great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And there you see a simple explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by Jesus himself. He says, if anyone is thirsty, come. All right, come where? Come to him. And what we need to understand is that thirst of our soul is the same as thirst of our body. Okay? In the same sense, our bodies, we cannot go without water. We as spiritually being, we cannot go without Jesus if we want to maintain that nutrition. We want to maintain this closeness to him so that we can be fed by him. Because it is not designed by God for us to store up the living water and live on it throughout the week. It's kind of like the manna. You know, God told him to collect it daily. Get just what you need for that day. And after the day ended, the manna went bad, right? And they had to trust in God to provide more manna the next day. And they were to take all that they want. Every instance where people hoarded up manna in the Old Testament, it was filled with worms and nastiness, and they couldn't eat it. And the same thing goes for us. But what we've maintained in the Christian church of today is that, hey, I want to come to church, get filled up, and then live off of that feeling that I get at church. And that's not the design, and that's not what God wanted from us as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, we come here, and we have this service, and we have Sunday school, and we have all these wonderful things that have a design in mind, but those designs are not to feed you what you're supposed to be feeding yourself. They're supposed to encourage, uplift, they're supposed to be build up, they're supposed to be salvation being presented, which we're going to present today. But if the only nutrition that you get is from my sermon, then you're in terrible shape. The only nutrition that you get is a weekly attendance of church, or twice a week, or three times a week, or even, hey, if you're super faithful, you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, you come Wednesday, and then you come to something during the week. You come four or five times a week. That is not enough nutrition based off of what Jesus says. He said, come to me, those who are thirsty. Why? Because our souls often long for Jesus. And there's many different ways for us to fill that out. That's through reading of his word. That's through prayer. That's through communion. You know, the relationship, I'm redefining what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus in my mind. Yes, I think quiet time is vitally important. I think we should be in our Bibles. We should be in God's word. We should be in prayer. We should take time to be away from everything else and just spend time alone with God. But that should come a lot more often in the day than we allow it. I've gotten to the point and now, I like to turn off my radio in my car so that the time that I'm spending in my car, I'm not spending asking God for stuff, because that happens sometimes in our prayer times, or I'm just a terrible prayer. All right? So, but sometimes prayer times turns into us saying, well, God, I need this, and I don't know if you know about this, but and it just comes as us requesting of God. And I'm trying to use the time in my car as a time of reflection and thinking about God. Just thinking about what he's doing in my life and how he's trying to show me different things and just spending time reflecting on God. You know, we live in a busy world, busy time. We spend more time doing a lot of different stuff that really doesn't matter. I believe the church has more competing against it today than it ever has in its existence. And this coming from a parent whose kids play sports, whose kids go to school, whose kids have extracurricular activities, and we find ourselves constantly on the go for everything and short on time and energy when it comes to the important stuff. So when Jesus says, come to me, those who are thirsty, I don't think he's talking to these people that are wayward in a way. I think he's talking to us. The ones faithful enough to show up on Labor Day weekend, he's talking to us. Because look at me in my face and tell me there's never been a moment in time that you feel parched spiritually. That you feel like you're struggling spiritually. That you feel like, yes, you are faithful in a lot of things, but sometimes those things take precedence over what's most important. I think sometimes, and y'all care if I be honest for just a second with y'all and not pretend like I'm the super Christian. I think sometimes I enjoy ministry more than I enjoy my relationship with Jesus. I think sometimes I'm more focused on what I can do for God versus the relationship that I have with God. And I'm trying to fix that. And I'm trying to work on that. Because I don't think we become filled with ministry. I don't think we become filled by leading in worship. We become filled by taking part in worship.
Amen.
You want to know one of the biggest problems of the church? Christians showing up thinking that they're going to get something that they're not bringing with them. If Jesus Christ lives inside of each and every one of us, you know what makes the church powerful? The little bit of Holy Spirit that lives inside of each one of us coming together in one place. It has nothing to do with what happens on the stage. It has nothing to do with what happens behind this pulpit. It has everything to do with what God's doing in your life before you walk through those doors. And how you can come here and not just be thirsty for somebody else to give you drink. Jesus didn't say in this moment, if you're thirsty, go see Debbie. I think Debbie's a wonderful lady. I think Debbie's been encouraging in my life and she's done things to lift me up. But I still don't read that in Scripture, Debbie. I don't think it says, if you're thirsty, go see Brother Lynn. Now, Brother Lynn's one of the most faithful men I've ever been around. But he is not Jesus, nor does he want to be Jesus.
Amen.
Brother Lynn's just a big finger that's pointing to the real hero, and that's God. Brother Lynn can't provide it. Miss Debbie can't provide it. I can't provide it. Then we've got to figure out what the source is. And Jesus tells us in this moment, if you are thirsty, come here. Not to me, but this is Jesus. I'm taking on his, to me, Jesus. All right, this is weird. I'm going to change that illustration. We'll just want to use that. Right, he said, come to me, Jesus said that, okay, not this, okay? So we go without water, we thirst. We go without God, our soul thirsts. Our body was made to live on water. Our soul was made to live on God. All right? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just telling you maybe something you hadn't thought about for a little bit. I'm telling you something maybe Satan's distracted you from. Because I've said this the last couple sermons, we're creatures of habit, whether we want to be or not. I stood right here, and I looked at that screen right there, even though Kim's head was in the way the whole time. All right? All it would take was for me to look at that screen, and I could see it perfectly. But I don't know about y'all, I don't look at that screen. I look at that screen. And so my brain would not let me worship and look at that screen right there, because that was weird and different. And I sit on this side of the church, and on this side of the church, that's our screen, right? That's y'all's screen, but this is my screen over here. And I sat there, and I struggled seeing the bottom words instead of looking over there. And that's what we do, guys. We struggle against things, and all it takes is just a little acknowledgement of what's going on. You know, there's an understanding in Jesus' scripture that we know who he is. Now, if you look at this verse, if you look at this chapter, you'll see that Jesus' brothers did not realize who he was. That's why they were mocking him. That's why they were kind of making fun of him. He was the weird brother that was doing stuff that was bringing shame to the family. But he's understanding here that we have this basic knowledge that Jesus is the object of our worship. And so when he says, come, if you're thirsty, come, it's talking about him, and that's what it is. So the first thing that you see there is, guys, human beings are thirsty. If you're in this room today and you're not thirsty, great. For you are in this room and you are spiritually thirsty, it's quite simple. Jesus said, come. That's it. He didn't say, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. He just said, come. And then he goes on and starts talking about drinking. Verse 37, he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So often we get distracted or we misunderstand what Jesus is saying there. Sometimes we believe that Jesus has the substance that we need. So when he says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink, he say, come to me and I'll give you something. We've got to understand that that's not what Jesus said. Jesus doesn't have the substance that we need. Jesus is the substance that we need. It's not that we come and we observe what Jesus can give us. We come and recognize that he is the living water that we must rest in. And so it's not about come to church so that you can get a sermon. No. It's not about come to church so you can experience worship. No. It's not about come to church so you can have Christian fellowship. All those things are good, but that's not the object of what our worship is. Our object is Jesus Christ. Why should we come to church? Jesus Christ. Why should we worship him? Or why should we worship in church? Jesus Christ. Why should we have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ? Because of Jesus Christ. If you're coming to this church for any other reason, you're coming for the wrong reason. Because any other reason will give you a reason not to come to church. How many times have we heard somebody say, well, I would come to that church, but I don't like the worship. I'd come to that church, but I don't like the preacher. I'd come to that church, but there's some hypocrites in there, and I just ain't going to worship with hypocrites. Heard every one of those, not specifically in reference to our church, but in church in general. Heard every one of it. If you come up with a reason to not come, or a reason to come up to church, you will also come to a reason not to come to church. In the same sense, when you come to church for one reason and they stop doing that, guess what? You lose your reason to come to church. Jesus doesn't offer what we have. Jesus is what we want and what we need. He is the substance of our salvation. He is the substance in which we should live off of. Nothing wrong with what we do in this church and how we choose to operate in this church. I'm just telling you, if anything outside of Jesus is your motivation for what's going on today, then we're wrong. Because Jesus is the substance. Jesus doesn't have what our soul needs. Jesus is what our soul needs. Period and point blank. Then he goes on in verse 38. And he says this. He who believes in me, as Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Yeah, we're thirsty. And yeah, we need to come to Jesus and drink. But there's also a calling inside of Christ that we not be takers of the living water, but we be providers of that living water. He said, once you've understood your thirst and once you've fulfilled that thirst in me, you yourself become living water. You become fountains for those to drink from. Guys, there's a calling that we cannot be consumers of water. We must be providers of water. And out of each and every one of us should come the living water of Jesus Christ. I'm often concerned with the way that I'm perceived, because sometimes I say things without thinking. Missy, I know that's hard to believe. All right? And sometimes I make smart remarks that are a joke that people don't understand they're a joke. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? And sometimes, I had a hand raised. Oh, that's a good one. Sometimes I take things way too serious that I shouldn't take serious. Miss Debbie, I know me and you are on this one. I've seen you at basketball games. All right? Sometimes I don't represent Christ in the manner in which I should. And it terrifies me. The way the average normal person that doesn't know me just walks by and thinks, I want to be the guy that says, you know what? He's always encouraging. He's always uplifting. He always has a great attitude. You can just feel the Spirit of God around him. That's the person that I want to be. I'm not saying I'm there. Lord knows I'm not there. But that's what I want. But I want y'all to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. I didn't put this in the slide. Sorry, Ray. Jeremiah chapter 2. Don't worry. I didn't mark it in my Bible. So, oh, never mind. I accidentally flipped right to it. So I look super spiritual in front of all y'all. Jeremiah chapter 2. Generations have gone. Generations upon generations have gone through since Jeremiah. This was spoken to Jeremiah and he portrayed it. But listen to Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, to hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Two evils that it says his people have committed, and I believe still applies to us today, all these years later. Number one, we've forsaken God. We've forsaken him in light of all that he's done for us, and we start looking at what Jesus can provide for us instead of looking at what Jesus is to us. Okay? We're looking to Jesus to give us what we need, not understanding that Jesus is what we need. Okay? We've forsaken him, forsaken who he is, forsaken what he came for, forsaken the relationship and what that means to us. We've forsaken that. And the second thing is, said we've hewn out cisterns. What are cisterns? Cisterns are rocks that they've basically, you know, chiseled away to make a bowl out of them so that when the rains come and they're able to collect that water and they're able to live off of what they provided for themselves instead of having faith in what God was going to provide for them. But it says not only have we hewn out those cisterns, and I think if y'all are anything like me, y'all can look around in your life and you can see these cisterns that we've hewn out. We can see the things in life that give us substance except for the outside of Jesus, okay? And I've also often tell the teenagers, if you're not happy with Jesus and yourself, you're not going to be happy with Jesus, yourself, and anything else this world has to offer. But we have these things in our life in which we go like, yeah, I got Jesus. Yeah, I got my family. And yeah, I got that. There's five or six things that we've got to have with Jesus to bring happy. And that's what a cistern is. That's what it is to hew out for yourself. Hey, yeah, me and Jesus, I should be happy with that, but I need me and Jesus and my family. Or I need me and Jesus and my friends. Or me and Jesus and this sport or this boyfriend or this girlfriend or this some relationship somehow take over that. We hew out these things that we've got to have. But then it goes on to say there, not only do we hew them out, he said, but they're broken cisterns. What would happen in the day if you didn't do a good enough job with that cistern? As the heat came about and there was no water in it, that rock would crack. And so when the water would come, it would collect that water. And the longer that water sat there, the less there was until there was none left, because it would just all leak out. Guys, Jesus professes that he is the living water. Anybody that is thirsty, they should come to him. Here's my calling for y'all today. If you're thirsty, don't ignore it. Don't pretend like it's not there. Don't be the super Christian that needs no prayer, needs no altar time, needs none of that stuff. Be honest with yourself. If you're thirsty in your soul, come to the altar and seek Jesus. If you're thirsty in your soul, look for ways to implement Jesus. Not implement things about Jesus, but to implement Jesus into more aspects of your life so that you can live off the living water instead of the handfuls of stuff that you're holding on to for yourself. Number two, if there's somebody in here that's never experienced the living water that I speak of, they don't know who Jesus Christ is or what he means to you or what he means to me. To you, he hasn't meant anything. I'm telling you today, at 15 years old, I knew not God and I didn't even know the things of God. I went to a Christian camp in Panama City Beach and the guy preached on hell. And I didn't know what hell was. I couldn't find it in the Bible. I remember the first time I went to church, they told me to turn to First John. So I turned to John chapter 1. It's the only one I knew. I didn't know there's three more in the back of the Bible. Found that out later. So I turned to John chapter 1, and what he was reading and what I saw were two different things. I didn't understand it. I didn't have a concept of religion in my mind. And that guy started preaching on hell, and I don't know what struck a chord in my life, and I didn't know what hell was, but I knew if something happened that day and I died, that I was going to spend eternity separated from what this guy was saying, God, and it was going to be in a bad place. And God broke my heart until the youth minister saw me back there sobbing, heaving, sobbing, and led me outside and shared with me the great gift that Jesus gave me, and I accepted him on that day. If you don't understand the salvation that God offers as living water, I encourage you not to leave this room without coming and talking to me. If there's somebody else in this room you're more comfortable with, go talk to them. But we as Christians, we need to understand that we need to live connected to that living water. Jesus is our manna that we can't store up for ourselves. We've got to live on him daily, hourly, minute by minute, second by second. And those that don't know Jesus Christ, you need to understand he is that important. And lastly, if Jeremiah chapter 2 spoke to you, you've forsaken him and you've hewn out cisterns for yourself. There's this wonderful thing in the Christian belief system. It's called repentance. In which you can come before God and you say, God, I messed up. I made a mistake. And you know the amazing thing about the God that we serve? He forgives us. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter how many times, doesn't matter how often, doesn't matter how big a mistake or how small a mistake you fall on your face before God and he forgives us. And one of these days, I can't wait till I can look him in the face and tell him thank you. Because I don't know about y'all, but I make mistake after mistake after mistake. And if I was God, I'd given up on me a long time ago. Guys, today is not about a sermon. It's not about a worship. It's about the living water. It's about the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit hadn't even fallen in this point in history. And here we have the Holy Spirit living among us. The question is, are we living by the water that is Jesus Christ? Y'all stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.